It's a great privilege to be here with you, and I add my own personal welcome to the welcome you've already received, and my appreciation as well to the brethren for their invitation to be here. Now, the subject is the wonder of angels, and I have spent a lot of time wondering over the last few days. The most of my wondering was done why I chose such a subject. But anyhow, if our brother can speak to a quarter to ten, surely I can speak to half eight profitably on this subject. Now, I want to read, please, quite a few readings. First of all, Luke chapter 2. Luke's Gospel in chapter 2. And verse 7, Luke 2, verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the angels, or the shepherds, said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this great thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, chapter 22, please, of Luke. Luke chapter 22. And verse 41, the Lord in Gethsemane, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now, John's Gospel, chapter 20, please. John, chapter 20. And this is well known about Mary at the sepulchre. And verse 1, Mary, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And then Peter and John come, verse 10, then the disciples went away again unto their own home, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Now, 1 Corinthians 11, please. And after that, then one more reading, and that'll suffice. First Corinthians 11 and verse number 2. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one, as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head, because of the angels. And then finally, I know it's a lot of reading here, finally, Revelation chapter 5, please. Revelation 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven or in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much. And verse 5, And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And verse 9, And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Now, we'll end the reading there. I know that's a lot of reading. But anyhow, these are all perhaps well-known readings. But I hope they stir our minds and will be helpful in these next few minutes we have ahead of us. The subject, and I thought carefully about the title for a while, The Wonder of Angels. Angels are a wonder to us. We are intrigued by angelic beings, and we wonder at them in many, many ways. We wonder what they do. We wonder how many there are. And in many, many respects, we wonder at them. Whenever it comes to Holy Scripture, whenever John in the book of Revelation, there was twice, whenever he fell down at the feet or fell down before the angel, which showed him these great things, and he was about to worship the angel. And the command, very sharp and very clear, see thou, do it not, worship God. And so there is a difference between wondering at and worshiping. And of course, and this is not a big thing that I'm going to say, but the worship of angels is on the increase in the world in which we live. There are people who will gather tomorrow in Belfast City, and they will worship and they will pray to angels. Now, such should not be, and such is of Satan himself. The command of the angel to John, see thou do it not. All worship is to be to God himself and not to angels. But what I want to think about this evening is to think about five things that angels themselves wonder at. Because I think we have in these scriptures, if not directly, we have at least implied the wonder of angels, the things that angels wonder at. And if angels wonder at them, we should wonder at them all the more. The first we have in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And there, I want to think about the wonder of angels at the distance he stooped. There was in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, there were the shepherds out in the field. And the angel appeared with news of a Savior born. Now, mind you, and we're not just going to be focused solely on the angels here. I want to draw out a few practical, hopefully encouraging thoughts for us all. Isn't it a marvel that the angel came not to Jerusalem? You would think the announcement of the Messiah, of the Savior of the world, from heaven. Who was waiting for him? You say the Jews were waiting for him. The place the angel will go will be to Jerusalem. No. Some obscure field. You say the angels will carry this message to the doctors of the law, the men who are studying the scriptures. No. They will come and they will make this announcement to the high priest. No, it says they came. There were a few shepherds looking after their sheep by night. And as they were there, just engaged in their work, suddenly, the quietness, the stillness of the night broke, and there was an angel announced the birth of the Lord, the Savior of the world. You know what that tells me? And I would love that I would encourage all who are here, if the Lord would so help, and only the Lord can do it. But you know, I meet many, many believers, and they tell me, they say, But I'm just a simple humble quiet saint. Do you know this? You may well be a retired quiet humble believer. But you have the ability to appreciate Christ in a way that all the learned men of this earth can never appreciate. With all their learning and with all their knowledge, you could not have found in this day on this earth more humble and poor men than these men who received this great announcement. And every believer here has the ability to enjoy Christ and have a revelation of him from the scriptures that is precious. And so it was to these shepherds they came. The angels alone knew the treasure that had been given from heaven to earth. They are the ones that knew him. I was going to say from eternity. You'll allow me that. They had known him from eternity. Before him they flew with twain, those six-winged seraphim. With twain they flew, with twain they covered their face, with twain they covered their feet. And now this one they come to announce, that this one that they knew upon the throne in heaven had come down into this world. And I think, I have no doubt, in fact it tells us, didn't they praise? They worshipped, they wondered at the distance of a stoop. You know, the distance of a stoop here is conveyed in these words. It says that the sign, they shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. All the babes of this day were wrapped in swaddling clothes. That was no strange thing. But the strange thing was this. That so great a one would be found lying in a manger. That was the sign of the one. And so the news concerning Christ that these men received, not only did angels wonder at the distance he stooped, but the shepherds themselves, it says here that they said, let us now go. These men who were looking after the sheep, they heard of Christ. And they said, right, we're for leaving this place now, and we're going to go and search for Christ, and we're going to find him. And it says in Luke chapter 2 that they went in haste. It was important to them. And they left aside all that they were engaged in. It doesn't say what they did with the sheep. It doesn't say they went back home. It says they headed for Bethlehem. You know why? Because this news concerning Christ and concerning the Savior, not only did it captivate their hearts, but it gave them a thirst for more. And I would say to all who are here, you know the greatest occupation you can have in life, and I need to learn this more than anyone else, but oh, that God would help us learn it. The greatest occupation you can have in this life is with Christ. And every little glimpse you have of him will leave you wanting more. And so they left aside all the things of life. You know, we have to learn time and time again, do we not, that all the things of this world that so enthrall us, that so send us off into bypath meadows, that take up so much of our time, and I know we all need to live, but oh, that we would have a greater thirst for Christ and seek him. And so they wondered at the distance he stooped. The second of the five I have here that they wondered at the depth of his suffering. Because in Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, we read there that there was an angel in Gethsemane came and strengthened him. In relation to Gethsemane, angels are mentioned in Matthew's Gospel as well. There in Matthew's Gospel, it's the word of the Lord. He said, could I not presently call 12 legion of angels. 6,000 in a legion. 72,000 angels. He said to his own, there are 72,000 angels awaiting my command. As those men came to arrest him and take him away, lead him away bound. He said, all the angelic host stands awaiting a word from him. Matthew, the gospel of the King, the one in perfect control. But now we come to Luke's gospel. Here is the gospel of the dependent man, a man bowed prostrate upon the ground. Can we see it again? The Savior of the world, lying upon the ground in an agony. Luke's gospel tells us that being in an agony. You know what that word really means? It's the thought, not even so much of pain and anguish. It has that thought of anguish, all right. But really, at the heart of that word is the thought of a struggle. Struggling for victory. The thought of wrestling. And here, as this angel drew near to strengthen him, he saw this one in a place and in a condition he had never seen him before. Have you not, just to step back a moment here, have you not visited someone in hospital, someone who's unwell, someone maybe dear to you, or someone else? You draw near, you see their suffering, and it touches you, and you try to draw near. Here was an angel who came, and one who was engaged. I'll put it like this: he was engaged in a struggle for victory. I know the victory was assured. But here he was, prostrate upon the ground, engaged in a struggle for victory, in a battle the likes of which he had never been engaged in before, and such like this world has ever known. And this angel drew near. The Savior bowed his head in Gethsemane, so low, the strong crying and tears, the sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And here this angel that drew near, I think this angel wondered. Not only did they wonder at the distance he stood, but they wondered at the depths of his suffering. You know, I wonder at times, and I know we're at this now and again, but I wonder, does the suffering of Christ for us, does it really touch us the way it should? You know, I have a feeling, and this I'm stealing here, maybe I need to move on. I'm stealing from my next point. But I wonder at times if we become so accustomed to the suffering of Christ. Mind you, this angel, as he drew near to strengthen him, here was the one who dwelt in light unapproachable upon his face in the Garden of Gethsemane. And his prayer, not my will, but thine be done. They wondered at the depth of his suffering. The third, but I want to keep moving here. I don't want to break any records about speaking on angels, or certainly at least the length of the message. The third one in John chapter 20. What did the angel wonder at there? You know, Mary had come to the tomb. The stone was rolled away. The body of the Lord was gone. The one that she loved. You know, it's an amazing thing to me that reading John chapter 20, there's no sense of wonder with Mary that she saw an angel or saw angels. If that had been me who appeared at this tomb on this morning, I think I would have left as quickly as my little feet would have taken me. And I would have ran as quick as I could, and I would have burst in among those other disciples, and I would have told them, listen, I have just seen angels. Mary is not in the least perturbed by the sight of angels. Nor is she satisfied either with the sight of angels. That didn't satisfy her at all. And she stands here weeping. You say, well, what is the wonder then here in this chapter? Well, I think these angels wondered at the devotion of this woman, the devotion of saints. You know, here was a woman standing at the sepulchre, and she was weeping. And there were two angels who saw her. What did they see? They saw one who loved her Lord. That's how she spoke of him. She spoke of him as my Lord. And here, these angels, as they looked at this woman, they saw one. Now, I would love we could all grasp this evening. The angels saw a woman who had a closer relationship with Christ than they had. You imagine. And she wept because he wasn't there. But these angels were his by creation. She was his by redemption. Do you know, I'm looking at some believers here. Some of you... know what bodily weakness is. Every day is a struggle. Some of you may be afraid of the future. What does this path on earth, what is it going to bring? What's it going to mean for me? Do you know, I want to tell you that you are closer to Christ than any angel will ever be. Near? Is it near or is it dear? I'm going to say near. Near? So very near to God. Nearer you cannot be. For in the person of a Son, you are as near as he. Maybe it's dear. Dear, so very dear to God. More dear you cannot be. For in the person of his Son, you are as dear as he. And these angels, as they peered out of this tomb, they saw a woman. They saw a woman who loved to be at the cross. Remember, the tomb was just beside the cross. In the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a sepulchre. And so the tomb was just right at the cross. This was a woman who loved to be at the cross. You say, Mary, you've been at the cross just a day or two ago. but she's back again. And in fact, on this day, she's here at this scene. She's here at the cross twice, at least. You know what keeps, like this believer here, Mary, that we have in John chapter 20, you know what keeps a believer tender in their heart and warm in their affections? Just being at the cross. You say, but sure, we were there. We were there yesterday. We'll be there tomorrow morning in the will of the Lord, in the remembrance meeting. We don't have to be there every day. Oh, it would be great if you were there every day at the cross. You say, but surely we develop, we grow, we move on from these simple things. We got saved at the cross. Surely we grow and develop and develop spiritual maturity. Yes, we do. But may God grant that we never leave the cross. It was the sight of that dear cross first weaned my heart from earthly things and taught me to esteem as dross the mirth of fools, the pomp of kings. Beneath the shadow of the cross, I learned this, that all that this world can offer me is but nothing but time with him, far more precious than it all. And so this woman was here weeping. And they say, the angels say to her, why weepest thou? And she answers. But then, and I need to move on here, and we're not giving an exposition of any of these passages, as you'll notice. It's just a touching on a little thing here and there. Do you know this? You know what the first words of the risen Lord were? Woman, why weepest thou? Not a wonderful thing. The first words of the Lord after he came forth from that mighty battle that we thought about and the victory that he won at Calvary. It's not about his coming kingdom. Not about the thousands that will be reached because of that mighty work. It's not about trampling underfoot his enemies. No. It's words of tenderness to a woman. Why weepest thou? It's a lovely glimpse of the work of the Savior now at the right hand of God. There's one in heaven, dear believer, and he would say to you tonight, woman, why weepest thou? Do you know the Lord in heaven? You say, well, he's far, far too many things to be doing, far worrying or thinking about me. Do you know this, the Savior in heaven? He's interested, and he wants to know the care of every believer. You know our problem half times, we hardly believe it. Why, there's times I'm amazed. My wife's even interested in what burdens me or bothers me. But she is, thank God. I wonder why. We hardly think it's possible that he would be interested. Do you know every care that you have, however inconsequential you might think it is, whether it be that search or that longing you have for a partner in life, and you wonder, will it ever happen? Bring it to the Lord. Make it known to him. Tell him every care, every worry you have. Maybe it's that illness that you're battling with. Maybe it's a wayward son or a wayward daughter. Whatever it might be, the Lord wants to know them all. Right down to the little small things. Make them all known to him. Why weepest thou? He wants to know what causes the tear to flow. Tell him. Bring it to him. And so they, the angels, wondered on this occasion at the devotion of saints, the devotion of this woman to the Lord. The fourth of the five is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we read there in verse number 10, because of the angels. And here, the thing that angels wonder at is the display of submission in our gatherings. You say, well, you know, this passage, let me say this, that all who are younger than me here, and that's a fair number of you, you will, in your lifetime, if you haven't already, you will, in your lifetime, meet people. All you young sisters here. And it is a delight to see every one of you. And you young brethren as well, greater here. And each one of you will face in your lifetime, the Lord be not come, those who will tell you that a head covering for sisters is not necessary. It's not needed. And the question now, the challenge for you, and it's not the purpose of the meeting now tonight, maybe some other occasion, to go through this passage and show from the scriptures why. But in a very, very simple way, we'll just touch on this for a moment. Because you will be faced with it. That I have no doubt. Countries all across the world are facing this issue. And what will your answer be? You say, well, let me put it like this. Why, for you young sisters, why did you put your head covering on tonight? You say, well, I have to. The brethren will be cross with me. I'll face consequences if I don't. Well, that's fair enough. But there's a far, far higher reason. Is it just a brethren diktat? Is it tradition? Or is it truth? You see, we learn here in this passage that there is a divine order, headship, that God has established in the universe. And it's not any thought or any there's no thinking here of superiority and inferiority. That's not what is in this passage. Whenever it says here in verse 3 that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God, it's stating divine order. And it's not saying that because the head of the woman is the man, that the woman is inferior and the man is superior. It's not saying that. It's just the order. It's stating divine order. Just like they don't publish them anymore. But I remember the days, these young folk will not even know. There used to be a thing called a phone book, phone directory. And a big thing as thick as my Bible here, and it had everybody's name in it and their phone number. And it was lifted alphabetically. You wanted to find Aikens. You looked in A, start of the book. Strachans were away near the end. But just because the name Aiken was closer to the front of the book didn't mean that the man Aiken, whoever he was any better than I was. It's just where you were listed in the book. It's just the order, alphabetical order. Well, so too, here in verse number 3, Paul writing here, he sets out divine order. And he says, the head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. You see, that's why it definitely doesn't mean inferiority. The head of Christ is God. Christ is in no way inferior to God. He is one with him in power and Godhead and in essence. And so it has absolutely nothing to do with inferiority. By putting on your head covering, you're not saying you're inferior to any man. And may it never be in our gatherings either that we who are men lord it over sisters as if we're in some way superior. That's not the teaching of the passage. And that's not why you wear your head covering. But why then do you? Well, there's much in this passage, and we'll leave it to some other time. But verse number 7, if your Bible is open. Notice there, it says that the man, that he is the image and glory of God. And for that reason, he ought not to cover his head. Because in our gatherings, the glory of God is to be seen. And that's why the brethren here have their head uncovered, that the glory of God may be seen. Because the head, the man, is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. And so the woman has her head covered to hide the glory of the man. Because in our gatherings, what is it we want to see? The glory of man. It's not the reason for our gatherings. God forbid. It's that the glory of God may be seen. And so I look across this company here, and the covered head of the sister conveys to me that the glory of man in whatever form is to be not unseen. There's no place among us. And the uncovered head of the man declares that the glory of God is to be seen. And all this recognizes divine order. And it's because of the angels. Do you know that we are teaching angels here? In a world that is fast throwing overboard every divine order that God has established. Right back to the first pages of the Bible. The order of male and female. The world is rejecting. The marriage of one man to one woman. The world is throwing overboard. Divine order is being set aside. But here, where do angels see and learn divine order and headship and submission? They see it in our gatherings. And so, you know this. Maybe you have come here this evening, and perhaps you all do know this passage well, and undoubtedly you do. But maybe you couldn't give a great reason on the way in. If somebody stopped you and asked, why have you put your hat on, you'd say, well, I have to. I would love, you see, if you were to leave here this evening, now this is not an exposition of this passage, but you see, if you were to leave here tonight, and if someone asked you on the way out, why do you wear your head covering? You see, if you replied this, because I love him. This would be a meeting well worth having. Should you have in your heart no other reason? You say, well, maybe if someone was to really buttonhole me and put me in the corner, I would tell them that it's in 1 Corinthians 11 that I should. That's great. But you know, one of the reasons you wear a head covering is because you want to honor him in our gatherings. And that's a great reason. Because you will be faced with it. You will be challenged on it. The last that we have read, and the time is gone, Revelation chapter 5. We read there, concerning this day that is yet future. We were thinking that angels marvel at the distance he stooped, Luke chapter 2. They marvel at the depth of his suffering, Luke chapter 22. They marvel at the devotion of saints, at a woman weeping because she missed her Lord, John chapter 20. They marvel at the display of submission, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Here in Revelation chapter 5, angels marvel at the dominion of the sovereign. Here John stands, and he sees in the right hand of him that sat upon the throne a book. You say, what is that book? It's written within and on the backside. Are there any other books like this in Scripture? There are. Ezekiel chapter 2. There's a book that was written within and on the backside. What was it? It was a book about the future, the prophecies of the man himself. And so this, I think that this book that is held in the hand is all God's future program. And here it is. And a mighty angel proclaims, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And the word of this mighty angel reverberates throughout the universe. And nowhere in all the universe of God is anyone found worthy to open the book bar one. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Lamb. The Root of David. And our Savior stands forward and he takes into his hand this book. There is entrusted to him all the future program of God for this world. And one who is the mighty Lion, the Conqueror. The King of all the beasts is the Lion. And so the Lord, as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, in his mighty strength and power, he takes that book. And he has the power to see God's future program delivered. He has the power over every foe, every enemy. He is able to subject them. And so, whenever he stands forward and takes this book, there erupts in heaven a new song. The elders sing the new song. And then we're told here in verse number 12. Verse 11 and 12. I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne. And what do they sing? The number of them, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb. You know, I tell you, this will be someday. Do you know this? This world that has so rejected Christ. Tell you, it's not an easy thing. Not an easy thing. I don't care what place you work in or how nice a school you go to. It's no easy thing wherever you are, wherever you're found as a Christian. It's no easy thing to live in this world for Christ and to be identified as a Christian. But thank God there's coming a day when all the angels of heaven will erupt 10,000 times 10,000. And thousands of thousands. And their song will all be, worthy is the Lamb. And they'll wonder at the dominion of this one. The one who was so lowly. The one whom men rejected. Now he will rule and reign in all the universe. In his rightful place. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem. And crown him Lord of all. And all heaven and all earth and all the universe will say amen. What a day that will be. And angels will wonder at the earthly pathway and the reign and rule of this one. I tell you what a thing it is. And I trust the Lord will bless these simple thoughts to all who are here and encourage us if he would. Now shall we pray? Our Father, we draw near to thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for him whom angels announced. We marvel and are thankful for that word that there was a Saviour who was born. And we bow and bless thee again for sending him forth to be the Saviour of the world. We thank thee for him and for his death at Calvary. We bless thee for all that is yet before him. And pray that tonight thou would bless these scriptures that have been read. And long that there may be something from thy word ministered by thy Holy Spirit to every heart that will bless and be a blessing to all who are here. We commend every assembly represented. We pray for preservation and upbuilding in thy will. And give thanks now for thy kindness in providing for us again and the returning need of our bodies. We bless thy hand again and thy goodness. And pray too that later, as we take our leave one of another, that we may be preserved each to our homes in safety, as we give our thanks again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.